Good morning and welcome to our online service today. Before we start to completely focus on Remembrance Sunday, we wanted to update you all about the shoeboxes for this year. As you can see from the picture, we ended up with a fantastic total of 117 boxes, which were bagged up, ready for collection. On Wednesday, their journey started. They were taken by Love in a Box, and in just a few weeks' time, they'll arrive in Eastern Europe, particularly Moldova, where they will be given to children who live in the poorest of circumstances. Thank you so much to everyone who has helped in any way with the shoeboxes this year. It has been challenging, and at some points, thanks to COVID, we weren't even sure if we would be able to continue. But, as Wendy said to Lane, whatever is going on in the world, a needy child is still a needy child. And so, thanks to the generosity, willingness, teamwork and love in our fellowship, pulled together by the dedication and care from Lane, we have enabled 117 needy children to receive a Christmas present this year. Thank you for giving each one of those children a reason to smile. And so, we now draw our thoughts to this special Remembrance Sunday. Over to you, Ian.
Well, I'm here in Bourne Park this morning, and I've been taking a look at the memorial behind us on this Remembrance Day. I've probably walked past this memorial at least twice a week for the last couple of years, walking the dog. But it's the first time I've really given it a proper look. Apparently these plaques on each side of the memorial used to be in the canteen at the Ransoms and Rapier works, the dockside works, before they were demolished. So they were brought here so that we wouldn't forget about the people that are named on them. And that is the problem, isn't it? We're very quick to forget. That's why memorials can be important for us. As I say, today we celebrate Remembrance Sunday. It's a day that we honour the men and women who served this country and gave their lives for the cause of freedom. It's a time for us to say thank you for the sacrifices they made. And it's a time to think about the freedoms that we enjoy because they were willing to serve. We've been through some experiences of not quite having the freedoms that we're used to. But really, it would have been so much different, wouldn't it, if we had been invaded. It's a time to think about love, the love they showed for us and for their country, and also God's love to us in preserving us as a nation. Perhaps this year we can also use this time to remember those who have served on a different front line in the battle against COVID-19, for our NHS workers and our care home workers and anyone else who finds themselves in that kind of position. How do we celebrate Remembrance Sunday? I guess many people will be going about their lives like normal. They might go shopping or have a meal or spend some time with their family, as long as they keep it to six, of course. But really, there hasn't quite been the opportunity this year to buy and sell poppies. However, I'd like to suggest some other ways in which we might celebrate this important day. You might still consider making a donation to the Poppy Appeal. And certainly it would be good to spend some time in prayer today, giving thanks to God for those who have served us to defend our freedoms, and giving thanks to God who preserved our nation. In a little while, I hope you'll join me as we have 2 minutes of silence. We're going to do that here on the film. Unfortunately, because different people will be starting the film at different times, it may not come directly at 11 o'clock this morning. But surely what is important is that we take the time to remember not being precise about the hour. Later on, I want to consider a psalm with you. It's one that is often linked to Remembrance Day, but one that I believe has much to speak into our present time and situation. So I'm just going to read that to you now. It's Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Well, we're going to go over to our musicians now as they lead us in worship this Remembrance Day.
And so we sing our first song, perhaps the most traditional and well-loved of remembrance hymns. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home.
Under the shadow.
as we remember those who have sacrificially given their lives in order that we might have the freedom that we do today. We remember too our Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for the whole of mankind, that all who love and trust in him might one day live with him for eternity. Amazing love, the Son of God, given for me.
Remembrance Day is a day to take very seriously, but that doesn't mean that it is a time to mope. It's also a joyous occasion where we can rejoice because of the sacrifice that was made, that you and I can enjoy great freedom. It's also a reminder of that tremendous sacrifice that Jesus made for our ultimate freedom, for our forgiveness and eternal hope. We can also be happy that though those soldiers died in battle, for many of them it was not the end of their story. Those who have put their trust in Christ are raised to be with God forever. That is a promise from God's word. Listen to these words from the book of Job, chapter 19. My flesh may be destroyed, yet from this body I will see God. I will see him for myself. And that promise is not for soldiers alone, it's for you and I as well. It's for all who put their faith and trust in God through the cross of Jesus. If that is us, we are God's children, and one day we're going to see him and be with him. Won't that be a wonderful day? Well, will you join me now as we seek here in this busy park this morning to try and observe 2 minutes of silence? Well, let's pray together. Father, today we remember those who have served or are continuing to serve to protect our freedom. For those who served in 2 world wars and in other conflicts since. Father, we thank you for them, each one, and for each one that paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. Lord, we also want to remember those today who are on the front line in the NHS or in those care homes, Lord, who are putting themselves at risk for our protection, for the healing of people. And Father, we pray that just as in your mercy you released us from our enemies in 2 world wars, we pray, Lord, that you would release us from this virus, that we may be able to move forward as a nation and indeed as a world. We pray for those, Lord, seeking to find the vaccine that may be able to help us. But we know over and above that, Lord, you are the great rescuer. You are the great healer. So we ask for your healing now. We also celebrate, Lord, the resurrection from the dead. For all of us who have placed our faith and our trust in you, we have a certainty that no matter what happens in this world, or even should we die, that we will go to be with you. And we long for others to come into the joy of the hope of that resurrection. And so, Lord, we ask that you will help us in the rest of our service today, that we would learn more about you and your character. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've come out now to the village of Sutton, and we're going to here just take a look together at Psalm 46. About 4 years ago, there was quite a major scandal going on, and it surrounded one of our favourite chocolate bars, the Toblerone. You see, what happened was that they moved the mountains. They spaced them further apart. And this was in order to reduce the amount of chocolate in each packet. They might have said that was for health reasons, but actually I think it was so that you actually got less chocolate for your money. And of course, there was an outrage about it. I think they've moved them back together since. I'll have to check it out sometime. Talking though of moving mountains, what a year it has been. It really has felt like the mountains, the long established mountains, have fallen into the heart of the sea. A long established way of life for many of us feels like it's been uprooted. Uprooted by the wind of a devastating global pandemic. Undoubtedly, it has changed the course of our lives, some more than others. Our natural tendency is to think that things will remain the same forever, especially when we have relative periods of calm, such as we have enjoyed in our nation since the end of the Second World War. But any real examination of history surely shows us that the status quo does not continue forever. There have always been life-changing events. Things where it seems that the mountains have been flattened. Of course, in other parts of the world today, there are literal floods and earthquakes when the earth is moved unexpectedly. And the Bible also speaks of the restoration of the earth one day to how it was before the fall of man, of a literal shifting of the earth. But of course, it's not just physical movements. Life seems much more uncertain now than it perhaps it has for many years. How is all this going to affect our economy, our job prospects? How will it affect our relationships with each other and indeed with the rest of the world? What kind of world will our children inherit going forward? And it is really easy, isn't it, to start to become anxious about all of this. Now, I didn't live through it, contrary to popular opinion, but what kind of fears were there in Britain when we were at war with Germany? When his armies were Hitler's armies were invading other countries all across Europe, and we were his next target. I can only begin to imagine how concerned people were at that time. We set up all kinds of fortresses and gun armaments, just preparing for that day when Hitler might invade. But of course, it never came, because God remarkably preserved us. And that's very much the theme of this psalm, is of God's preservation. As I said earlier, Psalm 46 has long been associated with Remembrance Day, not least for the hymn that was set to the Dam Busters tune. But more importantly, it is a psalm of deep assurance in days of trouble and human uncertainty. Its application to our lives can work both on an international level, but also at a very personal level. Now, this virus has left us all hopelessly exposed, even if we try to cocoon ourselves in our houses. There are no guarantees that we won't get it. How do we know true security? Well, the great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon called this psalm the Psalm of Holy Confidence. It is thought that the background to this psalm was an unsuccessful attack on Jerusalem by an invading army. The writer is speaking then of God's direct intervention to safeguard the city and the people. There's been much speculation since the end of the Second World War to try and determine why Hitler was unsuccessful in his plan to invade Britain. There could be all kinds of reasons. Was it down to poor weather conditions at the time that he wasn't able to launch his assault early enough? Was it down to the domination of the skies by the RAF in the Battle of Britain? Or was it down to the code breakers at Bletchley Park breaking the Enigma code so that we had access to Hitler's orders? Now, all these things no doubt played a part. But I believe ultimately, just like Israel, we were protected from that invading army by God. I believe that God stepped in and foiled Hitler's evil regime. And so this morning I want to bring some reasons for confidence for us going forward. Well, it might surprise you to hear this, but I'm actually recording in the garden of Griff Rhys Jones, the actor. But he does allow public access through his land. Well, we're coming to look at the first point here. Having seen God's personal protection of Israel, the psalmist here begins with a bold declaration of faith. In verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Here we see that God is like an impenetrable fortress. That God is a shelter, a tower that we can run to. If you look over my shoulder, you'll see the tower on the Royal Hospital School. That's something I use as a landmark often as I go around on my bike. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Okay, who started humming the old chorus? Those who are righteous, those who live under his protection, have entrusted their lives to God, and they ultimately have nothing to fear from this world. It doesn't mean that we're free from troubles that are common to everybody else, but that we are not overrun by an army, by a virus. No, ultimately we are secure in Christ Jesus and in his eternal kingdom. The psalmist has proved through his life that God provides all the strength he needs to face any situation. God's might is sufficient to deal with every eventuality. I wonder, are you feeling just now that sense of God's security? How confident are you? Or are you quaking in fear in this present situation? So firstly, God's impenetrable fortress. The second thing I want us to notice is God's constant supply. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Any city that doesn't have a reliable water supply is at the mercy of an invading army that can simply wait for the inhabitants to run out of water as they surround the city. But Jerusalem was adequately supplied, as we see in this chart, from various underground streams that came from different directions and kept the city in supply. So abundant was the supply that it brought joy to all who lived there. Archaeologists have in the last 10 years discovered incredible underground aqueducts that kept the city with the supply when it was under siege. In a similar way, God promises to be our constant supply to meet all our needs when we are committed to Him. These verses also point forward to the time where we read of this in Revelation chapter 22 and verses 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down at the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. God is the great supplier, isn't He? And Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." God's impenetrable fortress, God's constant supply. Thirdly, we see God's constant presence. It's said there in verse 1 that He is an ever-present help in trouble. God can be relied on to be there for us at any time and in any place. Unlike some people that we have put our trust in who have failed us, He can be counted on to be there for us all the time. Indeed, we're told that God is omnipresent, that He is everywhere at the same time. Sometimes you hear people say, "Well, I feel like God has left me," or "I don't feel God's presence anymore." But are our emotions even remotely reliable? Actually, if we say that God has left us, we actually go against all that the Bible says about His constant presence. Maybe it's us who have moved out of that sense of God's presence by our own behaviour and thinking. With this confidence that God has not abandoned us, there is no need to panic, whatever might be going on in the world around us. Even when things are not so secure or crumbling in front of our eyes, when everything seems unhinged, God is still there. Look at the psalmist's assurance of God's presence and protection in verses 4 to 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Fourthly, we see God's sovereignty over the nations. Verses 6 following. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Nations are in uproar, but he simply speaks and he remains in control. And I pray that that may be our peace at this time of extreme change. That actually it's God who decides the destiny of the nations. Now we cannot escape in the Bible the promise of one day there being the ultimate war of Armageddon, the final war between human governments and God. These governments and their supporters will oppose God and refuse to submit to his rule. But the Battle of Armageddon will bring human rule to an end. The word Armageddon occurs only once in the Bible, at Revelation chapter 16 and verse 16. Revelation shows that as a place that is called in Hebrew Armageddon, where the kings of the entire inhabited earth will be gathered to the war of the great day of God the Almighty. And who will fight at Armageddon? Jesus Christ will lead a heavenly army to victory over God's enemies. You can read more of that in Revelation 19. These enemies include those who oppose God's authority and who treat God with contempt. What will conditions be like during the Battle of Armageddon? Well, we do not know how God will use his power. He will, of course, have at his disposal such weapons as he has used in the past. Hail, earthquake, flood, downpour, fire. Only those who are on God's side will stand in that day. Only believers will inherit the new earth. So what is our response to all of this? Are we those who will cross over from death to life? Here is the response that we should be giving, and it's in verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This is one of the most famous verses in the whole of the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. It's as though God is speaking to us here directly from his own lips. Right in the midst of the war, in the midst of the turmoil, the constant striving that is human history, God speaks. Stop what you're doing and stand still and look to me. Just as we have stood still and remembered this morning those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom, so we need now to stand still, to shut off all other voices and distractions, and to remember God. I want to close with some words from Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Now you see, we are either on the victory side, ultimately in Christ, or we are part of the opposition to God. There can be only one winner in all of this. Excuse the pun in the light of the elections that are coming up. Jesus holds the trump card in his hand. And in Christ, all his securities are ours. But outside of him, we are heading to defeat, which is for all who oppose him. Which is it for you today? Are you living in the security of God?
At the beginning of our service, Ian prompted us that Remembrance Day can also be a day to rejoice in our eternal hope because of Christ's sacrifice for us. And so we close our service today with a song that is much loved in our fellowship, a song that is poignant and emotional for many, but a song that reminds us of the promises and the hope we have in Christ Jesus for eternity. Hold on to God's promises this Remembrance Sunday and in this coming week, because there is a day when we will meet him in the air, and then we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Then all hurt and pain will cease, and we'll be with him forever, and in his glory we will live. Oh yeah. Amen.
Jesus.